Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek his own. Is not provoked. Does not think evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Peter writes, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, that is the gospel, being baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I want to discuss for just a few moments this morning the power of love, or really how love serves. Kind of what does that picture look like when we paint it with a broad stroke with the concept of love? The world has its own definition of what love is, but that's not God's definition. The world defines love really kind of selfishly, but God looks at it completely different. The aspect of how powerful love is, Paul is explaining to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as we know as the book or the chapter of love, because he wanted to express to them of what they were struggling with within the walls of their own congregation, of how powerful love was to supersede all of the selfish things they were doing for themselves. And Paul said, the act of love, or the agape of love, is esteeming somebody more than you esteem your own person. Of interest in this verse, there are two words used for love. When you look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, he says to love the brethren, or phileo, that's that brotherly love that we're supposed to have for each other. But then he says to love, really, in relation to what agape is, that's that desire for what's best for the one that you love. That is, we esteem their well-being more than we esteem our own well-being. Now, if you put these two together in relation to what faith is and the concept of what Paul is talking about, of what it means to serve with the concept of using love, and since we've had a faith that has moved us to be baptized, since we've had a faith that's moved us to obey the truth of the gospel, that's that agape love, because we esteem God more than we esteem ourselves, and because we want to serve Him, and because the blood of Jesus Christ has purified us from all of our sins, the Bible tells us that we are commanded to love. Jesus expressed it in the sentiment in John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. He says in John 15 and verse 13, expressing what love was, because he showed it, and that a friend was willing to lay down his life for you and I. God loved us so much in John 3:16 that he sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary, esteeming us more than he esteemed his own son, for the concept of giving him to us that we might be with him. 1 Peter 2:17, we have four commands that Peter's giving to us. He says to honor all people, love the brotherhood, that agape love, love what's best for somebody else, to fear God, and to honor the king. Now, if you put these two verses together, 1 Peter 1 and verse 22 and 1 Peter 1 and verse or 2 and verse 17, you and I are to love each other individually and at the same time loving the whole of the brotherhood collectively as the body of Christ. Okay, Larry, that's great. You told us all those things. So what does that mean to serve then? How do I put that into practice in relation to how I use love? Now come to 1 Corinthians 13, again, the love chapter of the Bible. And as Paul is going through the greatest gift of the concept of love, and what we saw just a few moments ago in 1 Corinthians 13, we have a very positive statement from the onset when Paul says of what love is. Love is kind, and it suffers long. The Greek word there gives the idea, or the Greek word is, makroeumeia. Macro meaning long, eumeia means suffers, so it's long in suffering or long in coming to anger. So what Paul says in relation to love suffering long, that is, if you do something to me, I'm going to be long in my patience and in my love for you because of how I feel about you. That's a hard concept, isn't it? Retaliation is something the Bible does not condone. Avenging, revenging, all of those things. God talks about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. God says, I will repay or recompense, says the Lord. That's my job. But for us, the concept of humanity says, retaliation is what I'm supposed to do when you hurt me, when you lash out at me, when you say bad things about me, when you treat me unkindly or unruly. But Paul says love is different for the Christian. Love is something that serves because it's powerful. And the concept of agape says that I'm willing to serve you rather than serving myself. God said, so much so, I'll prove it to you. And I'll show you how it's done. You think about Paul of all people in relation to his service to the church. He wanted to kill all Christians. But once he understood how powerful the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was, so much so Paul expressed it in Galatians 2 and verse 20, that he says, my love is now guided by God's love. So the world's concept of love is not our definition or truth of what love is. Because Paul says love is long in suffering, and love is patient. James gives us the concept of patience and what it does to increase our faith in James chapter 1 in verses 2 through 4. And building that faith increases that patience, which also then builds the concept of what love is. So let me pause for just a moment in 1 Corinthians 13 here, and I want to use, or us to see rather, what it's actually saying. Again, first there's that word agape, wanting what is good for each other, wanting more than I want for myself. And when we love each other individually as we should, then we love each other as a body, and because of that, love is going to suffer long. Really, the concept of this suffering long aspect is that when I feel the way I should about you, I'm long at coming to the point in getting mad at you. That's what Paul says. Because love is all of these definitions, and because this is the agape love, greater than all of these things, Paul says at the close of the chapter. Faith, hope, but the greatest is love. And because I'm long in my patience, because I love you in the way I feel about you, it's going to take me really a long time to get mad at you. You see, that's what love is. Jesus defined the concept of turning the other cheek, really, didn't he? I'm long at coming to the point of losing my temper with you. And in converse, love is long and I'm kind towards you. That's not what the world says. Somebody treats you bad, don't love them. Treat them the way they treat you. That concept doesn't win souls. That concept is not the love that Christ shows for sinners, those that put him on the cross of Calvary. Not only am I long in coming to anger when you mistreat me, I respond to your mistreatment with kindness. 44 years of my life, I've seen some pretty interesting things in traveling the world. I've been talked to certain ways. I've been talked down to. But never have I been mistreated more than by members of the church. And what the Bible tells me to do, even when I'm supposed to love the brotherhood, I'm supposed to fear God and honor the kingdom and all of those things. Even when you mistreat me, I respond in kindness. That's what Paul says. But that's a concept that we struggle with. So today, let's talk about how we use love to serve. Really, the whole concept of our SEAL teams is service. Serving other people. It's not just to get together and eat. That's great, but that's not the purpose of it. The concept is to serve individuals that we might show them the agape love of Jesus Christ, of what it means to serve our communities, of what it means to serve. And the very last word or letter of seal is love, to love each other. Because the concept of love is extremely important. But you see, when you mistreat me and I don't get mad and I'm not going to retaliate, it's not going to be zeal that runs amok, it's long in coming to anger. But even more than that, instead of getting mad, I respond with kindness. And that means I bear anything that you put in front of me. No matter what you do to me or what somebody does to you, I'm going to put all of that weight on my shoulders and I'm going to show you the love of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you what it means to be crucified with Christ. Because Christ was crucified, Paul said, with me, I now live in the flesh, or no longer live in the flesh, but I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. Remember, love serves. And I'm going to take away from whatever you dish out and take away something from it to build upon my Christian foundation and to build upon my faith and become an even stronger Christian, because love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, and it's not puffed up. And these two verses, there are two things that make me a servant to want to serve or to serve someone based upon the concept of love. First, when I really feel the way I ought to feel about you, the result of that love is my willingness to forgive you. If a brother comes to you and has sinned against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him, Luke 17 and verse 3. You see, love has the patience and the kindness, no matter what that person did to you personally, that you're going to forgive them. It's not a matter of questioning what was done. It's a matter of forgiving what was done. Because we want to classify the hurt. We want to put it into categories. One hurt is worse than the other. One deserves forgiveness, one doesn't. Because I'm kind, because my love is long in coming to anger of whatever you want to do to me or mistreat me, love says I'm going to forgive you. No matter what you do to me, no matter how much you hurt me, no matter how much you beat me down, my love supersedes your anger. My love supersedes your attitude towards me. Because love is patient and because love is kind. Paul said of all these things, that it doesn't rejoice in pain, it doesn't rejoice in iniquity and all of these things. But here's an interesting observation. Love suffers long and is kind and does not envy. The word envy translates from a family of words from the idea of zeal. So what Paul says is envy or love is not some type of zealous hatred that runs amok that I'm going to retaliate or try and get back at you because of what you've done to me. When there is love, there is forgiveness. Notice what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12. Paul says, "Beloved, do not avenge." Again, going back to this concept in verse 19. "Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink, for in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I think about this idea of love doesn't avenge, and Jesus is the one who's supposed to reach out and punish others, not me. But it's easy for us to do, right? Somebody hurts you so bad, you want them to feel the same exact pain that you do. That's what vengeance is. You're going to hurt just like you hurt me. And you're going to feel every ounce of that pain just like I felt every ounce of that pain. But Jesus says, no, no. Jesus says, you can't handle that. That's my job. Because you're just going to mess it up and you're not going to see or show my light to them. That's hard. It's my job to make you pay. You're not going to hurt me like that again, right? Even if you do hurt me like that again, you're not going to know it. Because the only thing you're going to see from me is the love of Christ. Because in that, Paul says, they're the ones that are going to have to answer for what they've done. They're the ones that are going to feel guilty for the way they've mistreated you. See, avenge or revenge is a strong word. It means, literally in the Greek, reaching out to punish someone. Maybe there's a lot of things somebody's done to you that deserves punishment. That's not your job. Your job is to simply love them, suffering long and patient and kind. Love suffers long and responds in kindness. And love not only results in forgiving when asked, but it also results in giving myself, here's a good concept, to you. You mean if somebody mistreats me or treats me unfairly or talks about me, I'm supposed to not only forgive you, but give myself to you? I don't think so. That's what Paul says. Watch, it says, love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. The idea in the Greek here is it plays the toad. Love does not play the toad. You ever seen or heard frogs, or what you think are a bunch of frogs? And you shine that flashlight on them and there's one frog and it sounds like 30. And they're all puffed up because they're trying to show their presence to the other males that are around them, and they're making all of this racket. That's what Paul says love doesn't do. Love doesn't parade itself as if it's greater than anybody else. Love is not puffed up to say, hey, look how good and wonderful I am because I express what love might be. I'm not going to draw attention to myself, Paul says. Love is kind. It's not puffed up. It doesn't vaunt at itself. It doesn't make a fool out of itself. Love really, in relation to what Paul expresses here, is humility and being humble. Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Love isn't selfish, but we make it selfish. Look at Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Now watch what love does. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each other esteem others. This is hard. Let each esteem others better than himself. You mean you're more important than me? If I love you, you are. If I really care about you the way Christ cares about you, no matter what you do to me, that's how much I love you and how much you are and how important you are to me. Brethren, think how much better the church and the world would be if we practiced this simple concept of serving with love. Think how easy it would be just to interact with each other. Because we know there's no ulterior motives, there's nothing behind love, we wouldn't question it. But we always think there's something to it, right? Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others, verse 10. Because love steps away from self for others, love is humble. The Bible talks about humility. Jesus expressed that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, in purity and humility and meekness and all of those concepts of what He wanted His disciples to be like. James 4 and verse 10 says to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. So in the presence of God, I have to be humble and have humility and be meek. You see, the power of love binds my heart to yours and will not allow any action to break that bond because love is forgiving. Now let me wrap that up for you. Because of what I did to Jesus Christ, because of what you did, because of all the pain you caused him, because of everything that we put him through, Jesus said, I still love you. And Jesus said, I'll keep on serving you. No matter if you hurt me again, I'm still going to love you. I mean, isn't that the totality of what Christian love is? Notice again 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. Paul says, and now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Do we see this morning how important love is? How important that love is to serve each other, to serve the church? Every one of us this morning is a person of faith. Every one of us is a person of hope. But every one of us is supposed to be a person of love. So let me ask you again, what's your definition of love is? How do you define it? Jesus said, when you love somebody more than you love yourself, that's when you know what love is. So if you love Jesus this morning, do you love your Savior who said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? Love serves. So today you're ready to serve Him because He first loved you. To take that step out, to begin your walk of faith, to show Him your love. As Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, to not only love the brotherhood, but being one who obeys the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you're willing to do that today. And allow love to serve. You've got to put away the past. Paul says that in Romans chapter 6, putting the old man to death, be raised to walk in newness of life. Begin your service of love today in putting Him on in baptism, Acts 2:38. To have all of those sins, Jesus gave Himself at the cross because of love that you might have the redemption and the forgiveness and to have a clean slate. And if you need to walk in the light again because you've forgotten what love is, let us help you as together we stand and as we sing.